Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And if I have all the buttons put right, we've got Cynthia Hosswinter in the middle studio. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And Janet Manco, of course, at the central office.
Headquarters.
Underground.
That's right.
In a bunker.
Good morning, Janet.
You'll never
Same
know.
Same thought, right?
Well, good morning.
And
good
Andy morning. Driving around somewhere doing something with somebody.
All right. So we filmed the update on Sharon Hospital from Nuvance from the East George, and it's gotten just a lot of downloads. But you've got a real front page story on the on that meeting which took place last week.
Right. So it was a hospital sort of community meet and greet, a chance for people to get some updated information and to ask some questions. And as all of these things with investors happen, even though it's a not-for-profit again – that there's been changes in sort of who technically – who the named owner of the hospital is. And so now it's Nuvance, which is no longer Health – it's no longer HealthQuest. It's a combination of the Western Connecticut Medical Group and what used to be HealthQuest. So now they're in Connecticut and New York. And we right after we went to press, we got a notice from Deb Moore and a group of Sharon residents.
I was going to bring that up, yeah.
Continuing with sort of a you know – watchdogging on the hospital, and there's going to be a meeting on June 27th, I think.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up right now. It's on June 27th, and what it is they're not doing the meeting. They're bringing in people from the state.
From the Office of Healthcare Strategy.
And that means you can go to this meeting, and you can voice your concerns, and they will really log down what has been promised and set up by the hospital. And doc, so this is your chance to really – if you really feel that you want to protect yourself this way, to do it.
Right.
So now we'll have gotten both ends of the story, the Nuvance side, which was a good meeting, by the way. Mm-hmm. And you'll also now have somebody from the state meeting with you saying, okay, what are the things you're worried about? What are the things that were promised? It's good.
It'll be logged. Yeah.
So,
right. This is different from when the state was here. I feel like it was a year ago before HealthQuest officially reopened Sharon Hospital as a not-for-profit. And so then there was a parallel.
It was a more formal type of thing, though, really, that right. Public really only observed, but basically.
Right, although people could have their comments logged in. And at that time, Brian Oler was still the state rep, and he was saying, remember, right now there's this request to the state to merge HealthQuest and Nuvance, or the Western Connecticut Medical Group. So this is sort of the aftermath of that. So this is a chance, as you said, to come and express, you know, your concerns.
Right,
and
it's good for, you know, kudos to the Save Sharon Hospital Group that they are sponsoring this meeting and bringing it together and facilitating it because, you know, this conversation is obviously important to our entire region.
Right.
All right, we will go on to the second story. We'll go to the top 10 students named at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
I feel like we don't normally always get this story, but so Patrick went over to the high school and they had the top 10 students and they gave the list of where they're going to college, and it's a really nice group of schools. I mean, we've got Harvard and Grinnell and all sorts of, you know, really interesting places, and that's just so great to see our young people. And, of course, in this issue we have photos of the graduating class and just a really wonderful, nice-looking class, like very mature-looking and look like they've got some plans.
Well, it's great to see the picture of the top 10 students because I'll be quite frank with you. I think most people, and I'm one of those people, was wondering without the grading system that they had where there were no grades that were publicized, how do you – I was concerned that the top students – wouldn't get this recognition, and I'm glad that they are.
Right. It does seem like there's a pretty careful tabulation to the point where we have two salutatorians this year because there was such a small difference in the percentage point between the number two student and the number three student. So definitely I think that if people had concerns that somebody's not keeping close track on this, and also if you look at the results, they were worried that kids wouldn't get into college. I mean, that's a pretty nice bunch of colleges in there.
All right. Then Patrick Sullivan has another story on recalling widespread suffering of the Holocaust.
So about 2 weeks ago, Patrick had done a story where there was a speaker who came to Housatonic. He's a Connecticut resident, and he was of Jewish descent, and his family had been destroyed, you know, suffered horribly in the Holocaust. And so Mika Armstrong, who's a longtime Salisbury resident, very interesting person, had called Patrick and said, you know, there were so many people who suffered from the Holocaust. definitely the Jews, but also she talked about her own family who were not Jewish, and about you know, her father being taken away. And it's just a very moving story. And it's like when, you know, Marshall and I were just talking about some of the sex abuse cases around here. And when one person speaks, it opens the door for other people to speak. And I think that reading that other article made her feel like, I'd like to share my story too. So it's an interesting, horrible, wonderful story.
Well, I think these stories are the witness that we talked about during D-Day. They need to be kept alive for people that aren't really aware of what happened in World War II.
For all those people who say it was made up.
Yeah. And the people who can still tell the stories now are getting much older and will not be around for much longer, so we want to get their stories out there. We've had a couple of people come forward after D-Day with their own remembrances of it who were children in England at the time. Just fascinating. We'll have one of them next week.
It is up to us in the media and to the public at large to bear witness and keep bearing witness over the next 100 years or so about these important events that really affected the outcome of the world where it is today.
Yeah.
Now, you've got a story by Patrick Sullivan, which we talked about just briefly. The housing group pulled the application for the Falls Village rental units, but according to the First Selectman, it's not a dead issue yet. It's just hold for now.
Right. And we had hoped to speak to the head of the Housing Trust. We were not able to make that happen. But it seems like a good outcome in the sense that there was a plan for a fairly, you know, sizable affordable housing rental complex on River Road. And when that came to public hearing, people in the community really stood up and said, you know, not just we don't want it in our backyard, but really here's a few reasons why we feel like this is problematic and we have some questions and the questions haven't really been fully explored yet. And so to their credit, the Housing Trust said, let's stop for a minute and let's revisit this. And so they're going to go back and look at some other sites that they had originally dismissed and, you know, maybe examine some of these essential questions about taxation and student body and things like that.
All right. Now, this is a real pertinent story, and that is Nature's Notebook, Pathways for Predators, Prey, and Humans. We, you know, so many people love the bears, hate the bears, hate coyotes. You know, people in Alaska have learned to live with grizzly bears.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
We have got to learn to live with wildlife here and ways to separate where the three don't come together in a bad situation.
Right. And, you know, not to underplay the black bears around here and the threat they pose. But this is an article by Tim about culverts and how even though they're man-made – and, you know, we talk a lot here about man-made devices interfering with the travel pathways of the animals in their life cycle, especially things like salamanders. And so he's talking about the culverts that help drain water under roads and sort of saying they're a nice shortcut for some animals, including fast cats. He was describing one of the fast cats using them that he saw on a walk. But he's sort of saying, you know, not that we're prey, but he's sort of saying, you know, the smaller animals kind of steer clear of those culverts because it's always better to know what's in there before you step into it. So as you said, a good reminder to maybe be a little wary.
And America through the eyes of Chinese students.
Lisa Carter, who is the assistant superintendent for Region 1, has a strong connection to China and has traveled on many of the Housatonic Valley Regional High School China trips, and she speaks Mandarin. And one of the schools in another part of the state, I think it was Weathersfield, had a number of students coming and were unable to accommodate all of the students. They're very young for such a long trip. But I remember years ago Camp Sloan had a program where they had a bunch of Japanese kids come and we hosted one. And they were like 7 years old and making this big trip to America, didn't speak English, and just were so confident about it. So I'm amazed by that. I'm amazed by these very happy-looking Chinese students who came and stayed with Region 1 families for a couple weeks.
All right. As we go inside, and this is a great picture of the house for Paige Dickey and her husband about the once again another one of these country garden tours.
Right, and so part of the point of this article is it is another one of these garden tours, but they look different every day, and that's what's interesting about it. And so you've got the Bunny Williams garden, and Bunny's just everywhere right now. She's been so benevolent with her talent and her energy and her time and her sense of humor. And so she's on this tour. And if you saw her house in the Trade Secrets tour in May, it's going to look different. Yeah. Different stuff is in bloom right now. And then one of the major of the four gardens is Paige Dickey's garden in Falls Village, right around the corner from our new office on Battle Hill in what used to be a church. And so she calls it Church House. And so she's a garden writer who's very evocatively written about her former house in New York State, which was a much more extensive garden. And so she said part of what's going to be interesting for people on this tour is people who read about the old garden and want to see what she's doing with the smaller space. She doesn't look like she's in her 80s. She looks like she's quite a bit younger. But she and her husband, she said, you know, we're in our 80s now, and we're cutting back. And so this is what a chance to see what that looks like.
All right. And a planning for the future estate planning session coming up at the D.M. Hunt Library.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of these sessions around here. Salisbury Bank and Trust runs a lot of good ones. And the D.M. Hunt Library is doing some good ones. And this is Warren Whitaker, who's a trust and estates attorney in Falls Village, and Stephen Essex from Salisbury Bank and Trust. And this is a great opportunity to get free advice on really important – it's incredible to me how many people don't have a will and don't think about guardianship for their children. And these are really essential things because life is unpredictable. So this is a chance to have them come and say, here's some stuff you should think about. Question and answers afterward. They don't want you to come in and say, like, you know, here's my situation. But you could probably come up and ask them afterward or get some advice on who you might want to see. But these are important things.
Okay. Well, on the next page, you've got – by the way, mutts are featured not only in the story for Cornwall, but Millerton has a big thing with dogs coming up as well with Little Guild.
Oh, yeah. The Little Guild, very active. And again, Bunny Williams, very involved with it. And boy, is she a creative thinker. And this is the funniest thing I've ever read. I am sorry, but it's hilarious. It's she said, you know, she was watching a dog competition. And she said, well, you know, there's so many beautiful mutts and they're so often the loveliest dogs. They have such wonderful temperaments. And so she said, let's have a competition for the best mutt. And they have these funny categories for competition, including one, my favorite, which is best lap dog for a dog over 40 pounds, which is quite a large dog. And she said, so it's not just which is the best dog, but it's which one has the most entertaining little routine before it settles down on its owner's lap. So June 22nd, definitely come out for that.
And big trucks, big fun.
Yes, the big rig, which Janet Manco is no longer the head of and could stay home.
Never the head of it, but I loved working on it, and painting little kids' faces.
That's right, and it was just a wonderful event again, and they've been very fortunate to have glorious weather. Even in this rainy spring, they got that really nice clear day, and happy children. Look at those great photos by Cordelia Schiller.
All right, on our town's The Hub comes to North Canaan.
We have two hubs in this week's paper, and this one came together quite quickly. They talked about it a little bit, and all of a sudden, bang, it happened. And Liz McCare, who is, a bundle of energy, has been organizing this one. And Christian Allen, who, as we all know, is a very youthful selectman in the town of North Canaan, and the two of them are doing wonderful things there. And hubs are sort of meeting centers and community centers and maybe a place to do like a We Share Work thing. So keep an eye on the Lakeville Journal for future reports on what's happening there. But also there's an email address if you have an idea for something you'd like to do. Send to Christian an email.
Exquisite Eats at Frank Food Company.
I went there yesterday. Oh, my gosh. In fact, actually, I'm going there today to take a photo. It's unbelievable. The food is so good. It's the best coffee I've ever had in my life. And Frank is very personable and amusing. And somebody described it as really, really elevated home cooking, which is exactly what it is. And they have wonderful salads. And he's redesigned the whole interior space of what used to be many years ago the Strobel Baking Company, and then was number 109 Cheese. And very welcoming when it was Strobel, a little more sort of like getting you in and out when you were 109 Cheese, which has now moved to another space in Kent. Frank has redone it, and very enticing and wonderful. I recommend it.
All right, and the Taconic Grange and Sharon Award, its 2019 Citizen of the Year.
I love Bill Dineen. He's just the best guy. He's nice and friendly and helpful, and he's the guy. If I buy an appliance, I always call Bill first and say, what do you think? And he'll say, no, get that one or get this one, because I want to know that Bill can fix it before I buy it. So he was honored by the Taconic Grange and surprised by it.
All right, once again, the Norfolk Hub.
Yes. So again, Deb Alexinas writing about another meeting. They've had a lot of activities at that hub. They've done a great job. Dawn Whalen has been running it. And we've had a lot of stories about cool stuff that they're doing there. So keep an eye.
All right. And we talked off the air about this, but fears that Wilkinson will return to the Town Grove really abated after the last Salisbury Selectmen's meeting.
Right. And so Art Wilkinson, the town of Salisbury had done a deep investigation into the former recreation director who had been accused of inappropriately touching young children and sexualizing them. And that was a very sad outcome. And so Art's no longer a Salisbury resident, but a group of people came to the selectmen and said, we just want to make sure he's not going to be at the Grove teaching sailing or doing any of the things that sometimes he does.
And he's a resident of North Caden now, so that's where he is. Now, a story that raised the ire of a lot of people, not for its idea, but for the way it was put together and actually approved. Housatonic Valley Regional High School is going to hire a marketing firm, has, to seek new students. Initial contract of about $13,000 or $14,000. Like I said, the COO of the firm did not recuse himself properly from the meeting. But the idea itself is not a bad idea when done in conjunction with real estate agencies and stuff like that in our area to try to get more students in our area and try to get more than 65% of our grammar school students going to the high school. I mean, that 35% that don't
– is a lot.
That choose not to go to the high school is a huge problem.
When you're talking about a small number, 35% is enormous.
Yeah.
So Janet Carlson, who's great, and her husband John Sanders, who's on the Region 1 Board of Education, Janet has this very, very cool marketing company in Cornwall and has her kids in the Region 1 school district. And they had done an ad campaign for Cornwall Consolidated School when she was a volunteer with the Economic Development Commission and had very funny little ads that ran in the Lakeville Journal for a while. And so the Region 1 board had brought up the idea of having her do a similar campaign for Housatonic, which more even than the elementary schools has a lot of competition for students here in the area where there are so many private schools. And so, yeah, they had a vote. John did recuse himself.
He didn't really leave. Like he sat there. But anyways, it's a good idea. We'll see if it works out.
Yeah.
That's all. And just hopefully they're a little bit more, they know how to run their meetings a little more in the future. Mm-hmm. On the health page, though, rhubarb.
I don't like rhubarb.
You don't? Oh, my grandmother used to grow it and cook it. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So I started cooking it, and people keep telling me, like, oh, here's what you do, because it's a very New England thing. You don't really eat rhubarb in Chicago. And over time, I'm learning to love it. And so I actually went out and bought my own rhubarb plant this year because my neighbors, somebody bought the house next door to me, and my giant rhubarb plant that I've had free reign with is now endangered. So Sally Ketchum had said to me, oh, you make rhubarb simple syrup with it. And I tried it and it's fantastic. And boy, summer is coming. So I've got a couple jars of it in my fridge that I made. And so I've got the recipe in there and I recommend you make it with ginger. And you can still buy rhubarb at the grocery stores. But if you need some, email me because I have a bunch.
All right. A great story, Cynthia, facing death and seizing life.
I feel like this year has been a very morbid year where I keep writing stories about people with their end of life. But Sandy Dennis, and we will hope that this is a false alarm and that she continues to thrive and be a wonderful part of our community. But she gave a very moving speech at the Salisbury Visiting Nurse Association-sponsored National Cancer Survivors Day. And it just – you have to read it. And, it, you know, often people will say, like, you know, facing death makes you appreciate every moment of life. But the way she said it was just so – it really made me stop and think. And so I recommend that you read this story. And if you see Sandy on the streets riding her bicycle, give her a hug.
All right. Rare moments of glory on the Housatonic.
I was driving into Kent yesterday and I saw Patrick standing in the Housatonic fishing. And I have to say, it looked so relaxing. He's just in that nice, calm water with it racing all around him. So it's about his fishing exploits and about how the river's finally calmed down after all of that rain. And you're seeing drift boats and tour fishermen out there again.
All right. Interesting story about Kildonan School.
That's been an ongoing thing for the past couple of months. So Diana King had passed away. She was the founder of the school, and had really done obviously a lot to keep bringing funds in and to keep attention to it. And after she died, there was a moment of crisis. And so it looked for a moment like it was going to close down. They're saying now that they're going to keep it open, but that, you know, at least for the moment, that they're sort of cutting back on a lot of stuff. So that's a school with an interesting very specific student market. And do read that article. And maybe this is – maybe you're a person that knows your child needs this kind of support that they offer, or maybe you want to offer some financial support to the school.
Anybody who knew Diana knew how strong of an individual she was. And
how strongly
leader.
She felt about the school.
So her death really did leave a hole for them there. And hopefully they'll get past that. Let's go on to the opinion page now. And we'll start off with you, Janet. Two cultural icons mark milestones in 2019.
Right. You know, as summer is upon us, we should all step back and take a look around and realize what we have around here that makes this area so unique. And two of the things that are very nearby for all of our readers are Music Mountain in Falls Village and Sharon Playhouse, of course, in Sharon. So they have their 60th anniversary for Sharon Playhouse and 90th for Music Mountain. You know, that's just incredible. It's not easy to run a cultural event that really has been active only in the summer months, you know, during that peak season over all those years. And they have found a way due to a lot of hard work by a lot of people. But, you know, you talk about Diana, and it's, you know, Nick Gordon gave so much energy to Music Mountain, and so many people at Sharon Playhouse have taken it through different iterations, kept it going, revived it at different times. Just great cultural destinations for everyone in the area. We shouldn't forget about them. We should be glad they're here and support them. But anyway, we'll talk about them.
All right. We've got lots of letters from asphalt to housing to class trips to
yes,
the big rig.
Yeah, really quite a range. And, right, affordable housing. And so we're grateful for these letters. We have letter from Coulter Rule, who has been writing with his neighbors on the Falls Village Housing Trust plans to have had that 28-unit, 50-bedroom rental development in their neighborhood. And so he is writing to thank them for revisiting their decision, taking a reset, and, you know, moving forward, and very clearly says, you know, he supports and his neighbors support affordable housing. They just want to, you know, look at the decisions being made and figure and have the input, you know, so they feel a part of it.
All right. You've got on the other side all the different articles that are written by the different columnists and Peter Steiner's classic cartoon.
Exactly. Right. We have Mary Close Oppenheimer is starting another series on affordable housing, very timely. We have Tony Peel talking about the rights of the child. Don't miss Mike Duca's piece, Lost in Space or the End of Sense, How Can You Resist? And Ralph Nader on Society in Decay, Chris Powell about open information and public education.
All right. And we have about a minute and a half for you to go through Compass here.
I can do it. It's a full Compass with lots and lots of pages, and Ann Day has outdone herself in finding really interesting writers and editing them in a way that you're not going to want to miss a single story in this issue. She's got her own story. She's just such a good writer about a show at the Trimming Gallery at the Hotchkiss School that's closing this weekend with great photos of these beautiful women with guns. And it's interesting, and it's one of those ones that challenges your brain. C.B. Wismar has a review of the Waverly Gallery at Shakespeare and Company. Challenging show, but rewarding, as he says. Ashley Main, a new writer for us who lives over in Northeast, her boyfriend Chris Regan is, of course, Sky Farm Greens. And she's writing about the Wasaic Project, which also is having a very important year celebration and honoring its founders, Tony Zanino and Dick Berry, this year. And so she's giving you a rundown on the season. Cheryl Kennedy, very interesting review of a book that looks at American Native American culture and sort of says, let's not just think of them as like a wreck and crushed. Let's look at the positive things that are coming out of that community, and maybe it'll be uplifting for all of us. Carl Salader, who's turned into a very favorite Lakeville Journal Arts reviewer, reviewing a show at the Argazi Art Gallery and talking about the beauty of grass, which I appreciate because I think grass is beautiful. Alexander Wilburn, one of our editors, writing an especially evocative and beautiful review of a movie called The Souvenir, about being 17. And, you know, Alex isn't so far from being 17, but of course has the wisdom of looking back on it and suffuses this review with some of that. Kaylin Olinger, who I think is the daughter of Steve and Anne, writing about Rosé and has a list of affordable and delicious rosés that you can try. And, of course, the Compass, which Janet and Anne do a lot of work on, listing some of the many, many, many things that are going on right now in your area.
And that will do it. That and many, 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 many more stories in the Lakeville Journal. We will speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the week.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And, of course, you can find them on the web, tricornernews.com, and also on Facebook.